Our two pericopes of Scripture this evening are from the book of Proverbs. And we're going to begin with Proverbs 24, and then we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 6. And there'll be several other passages that we'll be referring to also in the sermon, so please keep your Bibles open. Proverbs 24, we're going to begin our reading at verse 30. To the end of the chapter. Proverbs 24, beginning at verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. And now if you'll turn back in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Beginning our reading at verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Loved in our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we come to the last of the seven besetting sins. We have looked at the sin of pride, whereas we need humility. We've looked at the sin of envy, whereas there must instead be kindness and contentment. We've looked at the sin of gluttony, and we have learned that by God's grace, we must have self-control. We've looked at the sin of lust and the need for chastity. The sin of anger and the grace of patience. The sin of greed and the grace of contentment and liberality. And now tonight, the sin of sloth. And how we need the grace of being diligent. Boys and girls, those are not words that we usually use in our English language, is it? Sloth. Or the word sluggard. What is it? It's being Mr. Lazybones. It's being lethargic. It is being inactive. Someone else will do it. Someone else would take care of it. A little sleep and a little slumber and a little of folding of the hands to sleep. A picture is given to us in Proverbs 24 of a garden or of a field. And it's no wonder that earthly things are taken as pictures for spiritual truths, Because that's the way God created this world, isn't it? That all the creature things that come before our eyes teach spiritual truths. And that's why Jesus was able to teach all those many parables that He did. So everything around us today reads as usefulness to the observant eye. All creation is used for our knowledge. And good comes out of even evil. The idle farmer, without knowing it, gave that traveler a lecture on the virtue of diligence. For we read there in Proverbs 24, "Then I saw and considered it well, I looked at it and received instruction." That neglected spot of ground did something for that passing traveler who had an observant eye and a thoughtful mind. It brought a warning to him, and may it bring a warning to you and me this evening. The picture given is a garden or a field. I'm loath to use this example, but there are those who have traveled on those two roads that are right behind the parsonage. And more than one have made that comment about that garden that Reverend Matani had in his backyard. And the weeds and the thistles were about this tall. And people must wonder as they pass that part of the yard what sluggard lives there. I'd rather use another illustration. I'm driving in the car, and I'm looking at the various cornfields out there. With the beautiful weather that we've had, there's tall corn, nice and green, with big ears on it. And then all of a sudden I pass this other field with corn, and it's kind of like the corn that Pharaoh saw in one of his dreams. It was yellow, it was short, and there was no fruit on it. And I asked the question, when all these other fields are doing so well, why does this field look so poor? What a lousy farmer here. Either he did not till the ground properly or plant it at the right time, or did not want to put the fertilizer upon it. So we go from the garden or from the field to the observation. The author of Proverbs says, "I received instruction." And so we go from the field to the farmer of that field. What a miserable farmer! What a poor manager of the soil! Perhaps he's only renting the ground for a little while and therefore doesn't want to put some of his cash into giving fertilizer, whether it be dung or whether it be commercial fertilizer. He would milk out of the ground the last little bit that he could and then he would let it go. Lazy. Not diligent. And yes, usually farmers are rather concerned about that. Farmers are concerned about what others think about their fields. Are the rows of corn nice and straight? Or did it look like it was a drunken man on the tractor? Is the corn growing tall, or the soybeans, or the alfalfa in the field? And what excuses are all given? Over in these two passages, Proverbs 24 and Proverbs 6, a little slumber, a little sleep. Not diligent. Or perhaps the farmer says, "It's too cold out yet really to start my work there." And so we read in Proverbs 20 verse 4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg in harvest and have nothing." It's too cold. Or again from Proverbs 26, verse 13 and following, "The slothful man There's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the streets. Or Proverbs 26 verse 14, as the door turns on its hinges, so the man turns on his bed in slumber and sleep. Verse 15, as the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Because he doesn't use his hands diligently, he has nothing to bring to his mouth. Proverbs 26, verse 16, and the sluggard thinks that he is wiser than other men. We read there, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Foolish, foolish man. He did nothing for his farm, and therefore the farm is not going to do anything for him. Or he does nothing for the garden, and the garden does nothing for him. He thinks he's wise. I'm going to save some of my hard-earned cash and not buy that commercial fertilizer that is needed. Or use the extra fuel on the tractors to prepare the soil or to pull the weeds out of the corn rows. And pictured there is a broken wall around it. Last year I started a little garden back there, but I didn't feel like putting a fence around it. Yes, and what happens, boys and girls? Mr. Bunny Rabbit comes in there and he eats those tomatoes before they even turn red. Or some of you have deer coming into your gardens and eating the corn. Broken walls, so there are those who come and do mischief in our labors. What a picture. What a clear picture. But the author of Proverbs looks at it and he says, I have received instruction. Nothing labored, nothing gained. If man will not sow, neither will he reap. And what is the end of the sluggard? It is poverty. It is ruin. It is death. It is poverty physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I hope to look at that later on, where we need that diligence of ours. Oh, the end of the sluggard. He is reduced to poverty. So here comes the command then to this sluggard, this lazy man. Proverbs chapter 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Go to the ant. Is this a strange thing? Man who was created to be the crown of creation, who was able to look at the creation and know exactly the name of each beast, the finished work of God, that man now has to go. He who was made in the image of God, who was made wiser than all of creation, should be sent here to this insignificant school for instruction, one of the lowliest creatures created of the earth, the ant. Man, the crown of creation, called to learn from one of the lowliest critters on the earth. Called to consider the ant because of sin. How sinful and how foolish to act the part of the sluggard and then expect divine provision in the hour of need. It is sowing that is followed with reaping. What is commanded here, go to the ant, is a sense of duty. A duty in spiritual things as well as in natural things. Whether it be duty in diligence and carefulness in farming, or whether it be diligence in instruction of the coming generations, or whether it be in the matter of spiritual growth. Are you, O child of God, more like that yellow corn that is stunted and has no fruit on it because of a lack of diligence in preparing the soil, being in prayer before the Word of God, being watered then with the flowing streams of God's Word and of God's grace? The diligent soul, we read in Proverbs 13, verse 6, the diligent soul shall be made fat. When we were in, I maybe told you this story, when we were in the Philippines, and we would come back from our 3 weeks of furlough, the people would look at us and they would say to us, to my wife, to my daughter, "You're fat." That was a compliment. A compliment because there in that nation, most of them only had a little bit of rice for each day. They were rather thin. And they would see that we came back healthy, being fed well over here, being rested up, ready to take our labors. The diligent soul shall be made fat. And so we have another picture, don't we? We have not only that picture of that field with poor corn in it because of lack of diligence, but we now have the picture of Solomon's grain-eating ant who stores her food in the harvest for the winter time, for future use. The ant. The ant is held up as a worthy model. What foresight, what industry. There a piece of cookie is dropped by the grandchildren when they're over at the cottage. And everyone goes away finally in late in the evening. We try to straighten up the house a little bit before we come back here. And not all the crumbs were swept up. And we come back there, and all of a sudden there's this line of ants all through the house. And we say, "What in the world?" Oh, that industrious ant seizes the opportunity. Here is some food that we can carry away. And you can almost see them marching in their double lines. Maybe if the food is on the sidewalk outside, they're marching in their double lines, carrying that piece, that crumb, together to their home. Go to the ants and learn that sleeping in time of labor is out of place in a scene in which man has been commanded to eat his bread by the sweat of his brow. Yes, the result of being lazy, not being careful, not being diligent, the result is poverty. Either naturally, physically, or spiritually. It follows. May we be those eyewitnesses now, not only of that field that was left untended or not cared for well, and may we be those eyewitnesses, these travelers that are standing there and going as commanded to the ant. Carefulness, diligence, planning. Because of the fall, let me emphasize. Normally, because man was created in the image of God, he would gladly labor as the crown of creation. But because of the fall, we are lazy. We think that we're wiser than God, and we say there's easier ways to go about living. Take my ease. Forget about the field. Forget about the studying. Forget about the bettering of ourselves physically and spiritually. I just want to sleep. Go to the ant. Consider her ways. Think about it. What does this mean? What does this scripture passage mean? Go to the ant. And not just look at her now and say, yeah, they're hard workers. But now consider. Am I also diligent in my labors? Am I providing for my family with hard labor now so that we have that which we need for our daily lives? So that I have what I need to give to the church needs. So that I have to give also to the poor. Consider her ways. Laboring and striving. And what does the Lord Jesus say to us? Labor not for the things of this world. Yes, we have to take care of our material things. But don't make that your one end goal. Labor not only for the meat that you eat, but labor also for the kingdom. Laying up treasures in store where moth and rust do not consume and take away. Thieves do not break in and steal. What a picture, that lousy field. Bad crop there, many weeds and thistles, and the walls broken down. Consider. God has made me His servant and you. His servants to labor here in our creation. To take all the good things that He gives us. And then it is in His providence that we take those means to supply our daily needs. Consider. Am I wise with my time? Am I wise with my talents? Am I wise with the opportunities that are given to me or to you? Boys and girls, school's just started. And maybe some of you older kids say, well, I'll finish up high school finally, but I don't really need this education. Who cares what grades I get? God has put you as students, young or older, in school right now. That is your calling. And you must be diligent. You must be careful. You must strive to do the best you can, not to please your parents, not to please, first of all, the teacher, but because you stand in the service of Jesus Christ. Mothers in the home, you're calling there. Same old, day after day, wiping the snotty nose of the little child, preparing the food, washing the clothes, cleaning the house, but doing it diligently. As I drive down the streets sometimes, garage doors are open. Sometimes I wonder, why in the world don't those people ever put their cars in their two-stall or their three-stall garages? And then I see the garage door open, and it is jam-packed with all kinds of junk. And I say, people, you know, what are you doing? Why are you so lazy? Clean up that mess and get your cars inside. Mothers, may you be diligent. Not just so that your husbands find pleasure in your labors. Not just because it's your calling, but because the Lord has made that calling and you are serving Him in one of the highest callings possible. Those who go to the factory or the office, how do you spend your time there? I can remember different illustrations when there was a good Christian laboring in a place doing a hard job and his fellow employees being angry with him. Slow down, you're making us look lazy. Yeah. Your time's not your own, is it? It's your employer's time, and you were called by God to do a good job, a careful job, a diligent job to please your master in heaven. Be wise. Your time, your talents. Maybe it's playing the piano or the organ. Maybe it's teaching others. Whatever talents the Lord has given to you, do you remember that parable about the man who took out his inheritance or his capital to his servants? To one he gave 5 talents of silver. To another he gave 2 talents of silver. And to one he gave only 1 talent of silver. And what happened? 2 of them labored hard. They grasped the opportunity they had and they doubled the amount of their master. And he said, "Well done. Since you have been faithful over a few things, I will make you a master over many things." But then there was that other servant who took that talent of silver and he dug a hole and he buried it and covered it up. And when the master came back, he says, "What do you have to report?" And he says, "I know that you are a harsh master, that you reap where you do not sow. So I buried that talent and here it is, it's yours." That man, everything that he had was taken from him and he was cast out. May that not be the Lord's word to you and to me. Oh, you sluggard. You invent all kinds of things for why you can sit back on your laurels and do nothing. I will take away what I've given to you. And I will cast you out. Rather, may it be said of us, of those who fear the Lord and labor in His service, "Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." But beautiful words there in Matthew's gospel. Be wise. Go to the sluggard. How foolish, how sinful that we need to be told that, really. You say, why do I say that? Because God created us as His servants. God made us the kings over creation. And God has commanded Adam to take care of the garden. That's the cultural mandate that lays upon us. And God commands us to labor in the 4th commandment. You say, what? The 4th commandment is the Sabbath day when we rest from our labors. Yes. But what, boys and girls, does the 4th commandment say? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and then rest on the 7th day, or what is now the 1st day of the week. Commanded to labor. Perhaps there's some of you today who are retired here. I know there are. And there are those who are considering retirement. And what's your goal when you will retire? What do you want to do? Just sit back in your lazy boy chair and get fat? Or are you going to grasp that opportunity of retirement in order to give yourself now to other things that you were not able to do when you were actively laboring to provide for the needs of your family? what opportunities there are. Maybe to speak to your neighbor about the hope that is within you. Maybe it is to take up an office in the church and to labor as an elder or as a deacon. Or perhaps your gift is teaching, and so we have Sunday school teachers, or you help your helpers for the teachers that we have in school. Or perhaps it's making meals for that mother that is so busy with 5, 6, 7, 8 children, or that there's sickness and you can bring a meal. Are you looking ahead? How can I spend my days? 6 days a week shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Go to the ant. That industrious, that hard-working ant, taking that crumb around or some other piece of food and carrying it to their home. Oh, may we learn. May we learn from the ant. May there be care in the duties that the Lord has laid before us, because carelessness is sin. It is the diligent use of providential means that honors God, isn't it? Awake, thou that sleepest. May our one thought not be that of the sluggard, making all kinds of excuses why we're not doing our work, whether as students or as parents or as members of the church. Do not say, well, there's too many things in the way, there's a lion on the street, or it's cold out, or I don't feel like it. May we not say, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep. God comes to us in these pericopes of Scripture, and God says, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? What we really have here is not now a preacher coming with an idea of how we have to labor, but it is our God in these Scripture passages that is bringing a remonstrance against us. Get up. The sleep that the author of Proverbs is talking about here is not the natural kind of sleep that you and I receive at night so that we may wake up refreshed in the morning. No, it's the slumber of laziness, idleness. I don't feel like doing anything. And as anyone knows, the retired person that just sits back and does nothing, their life was not going to be very long. They're going to have very ill health. I can think of a man who told me his mother is 100 years old and she is busy doing crossword puzzles and she is busy reading in her Bible during the day, trying to keep her mind sharp. Labor while it's day, for soon the day will be gone and it's night. Diligence. That is, grow in intense energy in the high callings that God has given every one of us. There are those who think that the minister or missionary have the highest calling. I don't think so at all. I think it's godly parents to whom God gives young boys and girls growing up as tender trees. Be diligent in feeding those trees, in watering those trees, in giving God's word to those young trees so that they grow up strong and firm and in due season produce manifold fruit. The slumber that our text is talking about in both those passages is like a poisoned drink. heavier and heavier, bringing the slumber of death. It is not man, but it is God Himself that can and arouse us up to the diligence that is necessary in our lives. As my father would come at 5:30, 6 o'clock into the bedroom in the morning, say, "Wake up. Wake up. It's time to get out to the barn, do your chores so that you can get to school on time." And yes, as a boy, I would like to turn over and slumber a little bit more. And yes, poor Dad had to come again in the house and say, "Wake up, it's time to get working." Well, so also it is God, our Father in heaven, who is entering into our slumber chamber. And He's pulling open the window curtains. And He's hanging over the bed. And He is sounding here in these passages a solemn cry in our ears. How long will you slumber and sleep? How long will you be idle in the things that are given to you to do? Open up your eyelids. It's daytime. Labor. What a calling. For faith without diligence is a slumbering delusion. Faith is the practical energy of a living faith, a dynamic faith that takes hold of the opportunities that God gives us and say, "I'm going to labor. I'm going to labor in the callings God has given me." You see, sloth, that is laziness, is not an infirmity. It is a sin, a besetting sin. One of the seven deadly sins affecting the whole person. Allow it no rest. Don't allow sloth to root itself in your life when you're young or when you're getting old. Store your mind with useful knowledge. Be industrious. And prayerfully study the Word of God. Give yourself to labor. Notice, this is God's Word to the sluggard in physical things. There is that warning that the Apostle Paul had to give to the believers in Thessalonica. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and following. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and they eat their own bread." We live in an evil day in which the government thinks it has to do all the work for the family. The government thinks it has to educate our children. It really would like it take them away from us. The government thinks that they got to feed the children breakfast and lunch at school. And the government hands out all these things to those who don't have work so that even after COVID, when there is a great need for workers, a lot of the workers didn't want to go back because they said, "Hey, Uncle Sam will give me more than what I earn as a paycheck for my labor." Sinful. Labor. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, says the Lord. But God's Word not only speaks about being sluggards in physical things, but let us apply it especially to spiritual things. If a neglected garden or a field is an ugly sight, what about a neglected soul? There grew up a generation that knew not the Lord nor what He had done for them. What an awful sight that was there in the time of the judges. Because there was a lack of diligence in instructing the coming generations. A soul, instead of being cultivated with seeds of grace, is left to its own barrenness, or is left to the seeds of the world and its philosophy, overgrown with thistles and thorns and weeds. Be diligent. Be diligent spiritually on the Sunday. Yes, we have 3 hours of worship time here in church. But what about the rest of those hours of the day? Are you individually and are you together as families digging into the Word of God, growing spiritually, reading good Reformed material, in prayer, together as a family? Labor diligently in spiritual things. Boys and girls, Wednesday's catechism class again. Are you laboring diligently during the week so that you memorize the questions as well as the answers? So that you don't say to the pastor, well, now which question is that? I only memorize the answers. How foolish. The answers mean nothing unless you know the question to which it goes. Are you diligent in writing out your written material? Parents, are you diligent overseeing your children? Yes, even the teenagers. They have so many things to be involved in. Are you diligent in that part of the instruction of our covenant youth? Are you diligent? Laboring as parents, not just for the physical things, but for the spiritual. Are you striving with your family to enter into that narrow gate and not be left there on the wide gate that leads to destruction? Strive to enter, says the Scriptures. And when the stone walls are broken down around our homes, and when the thoughts and the pictures of the world come into our homes by FaceTime or television, are you guarding your homes? Are you building those walls securely so that the enemy, Satan, cannot enter in and destroy that field or that garden? Is your garden a watered garden that we read of in the Scriptures? Diligence is needed. Oh, how fatal is slumber spiritually. Labor. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We read in verse 7 through 12. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we labor diligently, whether when you're young or when you're older and retired from your normal job? And the answer is because there's an accounting coming. We are going to give an answer to our God what we have done with our time, with our talents, and with the opportunities that He has given to us. Matthew 25. Those stewards that were given the various talents, the owner came back and required of them an accounting of what they had done with what was given unto them. Labor. Strive to enter. How terrible if we have to give an accounting and we say, no, we were not diligent. When we go around on house visitation, the elders and the pastor will ask this question, what are you doing for your spiritual growth? Are you privately, individually, and are you as a family engaged in devotions? How sad it is to hear time and time again, no, we just don't seem to have time for it. We're just not gathered around the table for it. No delight in your catechism work, young people, boys and girls. Precious truths that you are to labor to set in your heart. For how shall a young man guard his way? It is by hiding God's word in his heart. We will give an accounting. Let our Father's voice be instantly heard to us. As that father in the parable who had two sons. He came to the one son and he said, go to work. And the one son said, no, I will not. But then later on, he repented and he went to work. And the father came to the second son and said the same thing, go, work, labor. And that son said, yes, I'll do that. But then he did not. And Jesus asked the question, which one of those two sons did the will of their father? And that's the question that comes now to you and me tonight as we've opened up these passages of Scripture. Go to work, be diligent, strive to enter into the straight gate. Labor, not just for the things that pass away, but for spiritual things. Then our soul, rather than being a poor corn stalk with no fruit, will be like a well-watered garden, sending forth its fragrance, refreshing fragrance, and grateful fruit. May our souls not revert to the wilderness that sin brought it into, a well-watered garden for God's glory. For our benefit. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for this warning that was given to that traveler as he went past that garden or that field. He took instruction. And by Thy Spirit, Thou dost take us now as travelers in this world also to look at that barren garden or field with broken walls for our instruction. Make us, O Father, like the ant, busy, striving, laboring to receive our Father's approval and well done, good and faithful servant. Laboring for the kingdom. Amen.